of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll pick up back on our study, probably do a little bit of recap in here. But I'll tell you, the McCallums have been a blessing. Amen. Some people are a blessing when they come, and some are a blessing when they go. No. That's what Steve's dad used to say. No, it's good to have you back here, brother. Amen. Small world among us Baptists. Brother Bernard was able to see Rick Peacock in Montana when they were in Steve and Sue were vacationing. And he was, yeah, I know you're a preacher. But anyways, he lied to him and said that I was a good guy, I guess. But it's good to have him back. It's good to have everyone here. And, no, the Peacock moved. He's not pastoring. But it's good to have Lou and Perlita today. Amen. We miss you guys. We miss our Filipino crowd. Amen. And we understand with Mary Lou and Vanessa and the children and with Peter's health issues, we understand that. But we sure miss them. When you talk to them how much we miss them. And Yeah. Well, we miss you, brother. Man, we always miss Dale when he's here. I think Dale's not here because I wear him out when he comes. I have him pray like three times and testify, amen. But boy, I'll tell you, God uses that man, doesn't he? Man, pray. God uses us all if we're willing to preach his word and to be obedient, amen. I'm telling you, Brother Doug, I want to. You're an inspiration to me, brother. I want to keep my foot on the gas like you, you know. But I'm learning as Pastor Earhart's a couple years younger than me, and he said, man, you know, we can't do it like we used to. I said, but man, we could do it this time, amen. Yes, so we really attacked that flooring, and we worked. Friday night till 10 p.m. and then last night till 6. I felt worse for him because I only had 20 minutes to get home, and he had 2.5 hours. But he made it. Glory, hallelujah. The church was a blessing to him. We sent him home with a check for his work. And then also all this stuff that we've been giving away to missionaries, the stuff that we got donated to us, switched out. The old speakers, he took them. And, I mean, he goes, I got room. And I said, take as much of this as you want. Otherwise, it's going to the thrift store. If you know anyone that has little girls that want some, there's a lot of like little kids stuff, let me know and we'll try to be a blessing to them. Amen? Can't keep everything. So, yeah.
Did the church take on the home street as missionaries?
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're praying for the work of God. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We're going to stand one more time here and then I'll give you a break. And we're going to read a couple verses out of the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll start in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you get to Psalms, go right and you'll find it. Yeah, it's right behind Proverbs. All right, so in the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labors which he taketh under the sun? What profit or what gain is it? Turn to chapter 7, and we'll look in verse 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And let's turn to the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and we'll begin our reading with verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of the making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Father, we now ask you right now to bless the preaching of your word. Thank you for your people. I thank you for this time together. This is such a loving church family. And Lord, I pray that we would never, ever take that for granted, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with those that are sick and afflicted. We think of Lydia today that can't be here. I pray that you would be with her. And I pray that you'd be with the Wilkses, Lord. I pray that you'd be with Kevin, Lord. Yeah. I pray that you would save his soul. I pray that you'd be with his wife, Helen. Thank you for her testimony. And Lord, she's nigh unto your throne. I pray that you would just scoop her up, Lord, and be with her. And Lord, let, as the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look into the word of, we look into the Bible here in Ecclesiastes, it's just a, you know, when you think of Solomon, you think of the wisest man. God imparted him wisdom that no other man got. And that when he writes this later on in his life, towards the end. That's why I added verse chapter 7, verse 8, where he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. That's good counsel. Because it doesn't matter how you get started, but it's certainly going to matter how you finish. You know, a lot of us have got a bad start in life spiritually, if I could say that. But, brother, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Amen. And I have the opportunity to finish strong. Amen. And it's not just so much as salvation of knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. That is paramount. That's the most important decision you'll ever make above all other decisions. But after you become a Christian, many will get off the track. And I believe that's what happened to Solomon. And Solomon's trying to give wisdom here. And the book comes from a secular philosophy or standpoint, like what is the use today? Hey, you might be looking around at this world today and say, what is the use? I mean, how many people have told you, man, I'm not even going to vote, man. I'm just sick of it all. Now, wait a second, you know, so am I, but you have to be engaged. Amen. You're still breathing. You need to be a part of the process. You have influence. We studied in Sunday school that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You need to be salt and light to a dark and dying world. And we need to be a part of what God's doing. So when you think of, we'll do a little more background on Solomon here in a moment, but I've had this introduction for the last three messages I preached, haven't been able to share it, but C.H. Spurgeon shared this about the book on Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 1:14, it says, behold, all is vanity. And, you know, he uses the word vanity quite a bit in this text here. And, you know, you could think of it as useless. You know, what's the use? Spurgeon goes on to say, he says, nothing can satisfy the entire man but the Lord's love and the Lord's own self. Saints have tried to anchor in other things, but they have been driven out by such fatal refuge. Solomon, the wisest of men, was permitted to make experiments for us all and to do for us what we must not dare do for ourselves. Here's his testimony in his own words. He said, so I was great and I increased more with than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remaineth with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoices in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Spurgeon goes on to say, he said, what? The whole of it is vanity? O favored monarch, is there nothing in all thy wealth, nothing in all thy wide dominion reaching from the rivers of the sea, nothing in Pamirai's glorious palaces, nothing in the house of the forest of Lebanon, in thy music and the dancing and the wine and the luxury? Is there nothing, nothing, he says, but weariness of the spirit? This was his verdict when he had trodden down the whole round of pleasure. That was his verdict after he immersed himself in all his pleasure. Then he goes on, he says, to embrace our Lord Jesus, to dwell in his love, and to be fully assured of the union with him, this is our all in all. He said, dear reader, if you need not try any other forms of life in order to see whether they are better than the Christians. If you roam the world around, you will see no sight like the sight of the Savior's face. If you could have all the comforts of life, if you lost your Savior, you would be wretched. But to win Christ, then, should you rot in a dungeon, you would find it paradise. Should you live in obscurity or die with famine, you will yet be satisfied with favor and the fullness and the goodness of the Lord. You can't beat that. Amen. The wisest man, the son of David, the one that was blessed beyond blessed, come to the conclusion that it's all vanity without the Lord. We need the Lord. And you know what? He's enough. Yes. He is enough. Brother Earhart's 56 years old. I worked with him 2 days solid. I mean, when you work with people, that's how I got to know Jonathan, or that's how Jonathan got to know me. Amen. And that's why I enjoy working with any of the men in the church. And me and Freddie have had some sweet fellowship in the past working together. And you just get to know one another. And he's such a Christian. And, you know, I'm not talking about just a Baptist preacher, but he's a Christian. And I admire him. Many times I'm humbled in his presence because of his attitude, you know. I had to apologize to him. I said, brother, I'm undone, man. I said, I'm bent to criticism. And I apologize. He goes, oh, no, you're just of a different angle, this and that. I said, no, brother, I know who I am. Amen. And you know, I'm not perfect. But he's such a good Christian. And you know what he told me? He goes, We talked about a lot of things, you know, talked about ministry, obviously. We just talked about life and our children, and we talked about the dregs of drugs and alcohol, you know. And you know what he said? He goes, Brother Bobby, you know, I've never drank alcohol. And he goes, I never inhaled a cigarette, nor any other drugs or anything. And I snapped back and I told him, well, brother, you haven't missed anything.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I know there's some Christians here in this room that have did that. I'm not going to name them, that have lived that life. You didn't miss anything. Amen. Amen. But just to be around someone that's lived 56 years with Christ and said, it's still good. It's still fresh. I'm still ready to go. Amen. Man, it works. Amen. Solomon comes back on his life as an older man that had what? It was 700 wives, right? And 300 concubines, you know, 300 girlfriends. Concubine means he slept with them. Amen. That's 1,000 women. Wine, women, and song. And he comes back on his life and he said, it's all vanity, man. Because God puts a God-shaped void in your life that only he can fill. And he is enough. He is enough. I mean, it ought to be a solemn warning, as I've said before, to us all, that we got to get back to the Lord, amen. There is nothing out in that world that can satisfy.
Yes.
You know, and I'm telling you, God is so good, amen. God is so good. When we read about Solomon, we see that as he writes this towards the end of this life, it's evidence that I believe he got right with God before he died. I really do believe that. Why? Because we are still feeling the effects of Solomon's sin. And we're not going to study that out this morning because we don't have enough time. But you will see how he brought in all these foreign wives. And with that, he brought in all the idolatry. And it's shameful what happened in Jerusalem. Amen. How everything went backwards. You know, I mean, he even brought Ashtaroth back in. He even brought Molech back in, that the Canaanites sacrificed their own children. You can go there. Can you imagine? How far can you backslide? Well, Solomon's a good testimony of that. That we, you know. And I believe that's why he said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning of thereof. And when as he writes this and he goes on, and as we study this, you will see, hey, you could see verses 4-8. Let's read them in Ecclesiastes. He says, one generation passes away and another cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also arises and the sun goeth down and hasteneth to its place. Think about it. You know, people just go on. You know what I mean? Some, like Bob Hines told me, he goes, someday you're going to die. And I know, but you know, he's picking on me. He goes, everyone thinks their legacy is going to last forever. He goes, but one day they're going to, you know, if you have a church basement and you're pastoring a church, they're probably going to have it there. Amen. They'll have the funeral upstairs and the fried chicken downstairs. And you know, he goes, what's going to happen, brother? He goes, they're going to be sitting around and say, oh, brother Bobby, oh, Pastor Bobby was a good guy. Amen. Pass me some of that chicken. Amen. Boy, ain't that sweet corn good, huh? You know what I'm...
Yeah.
One generation, that's what Solomon's saying. He says, one generation comes and one goes. Listen, I shared this in Sunday school. The Bible says that a living dog's better than a dead lion, that we need to get about doing God's work, making a difference for the kingdom of God. He goes on to say, he goes, the sun rises and the sun set, right? Why doesn't the sun ever burn out? Well, I believe because God set it there, amen? But you think about it, you know, it's something else. I mean, if we weren't exactly, 92.something million miles from the sun, if we were closer, we would burn up. If we were a mile further, we would freeze to death. God's doing it, right? And then he goes on to say, he says, the wind goeth towards the south, and it turneth about to the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to the circuits. That's what the wind does. If you watch a satellite, it just goes around, right? And the rivers run to the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Right? I mean, you know, it rains, right? And then evaporates, right? And then it's just back and forth, round and round. Here we go, right? And he says in verse 8, all things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What's he saying here? He's saying, man, you know, and then he goes on to vanity is vanity. What's the use? We just keep going, amen? And the only thing that can change the nature of man, just can stop this, if I could use the word secular cycle, is God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Paul said that godliness with contentment is great gain. He also says that I've learned in whatsoever situation I am to be content. Let me tell you something. If you have contentment today, the world didn't give you that. The sinful nature didn't give you that. God gave you that. And that's what he says here in verse 8. All things are full of man, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with learning. It's just, man just keeps going. Amen. He just keeps climbing. You know, started out with a studio apartment. Now he's got a 5-bedroom house with a swimming pool inside. I'm just trying to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I'll never see that. Amen. But I'm just trying, you know, you got to be careful here. And there's a danger in getting our eyes off of God and our relationship with him and the things of this world. Solomon tried it all.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of these foreign wives, he made alliances around the world. He was the most powerful man in the world. Let's break that home a little bit. And this is my take, but I think we need to pray for our president fervently. Amen. But this might not be a bad thing. I love my president. I do. And I'm a Trump man. I'm proud to say it. Amen. But I'm telling you, he's a dose of humility wouldn't hurt anybody. Amen. And maybe God is working in this. I seen it with the Supreme Court thing. Maybe God is working in this. I don't know. Don't nail me down. I just know November 3rd, right? I'm going to be hopefully working at, if they let me be electorate, I'm going to work with my wife, for my wife at the voting poll, and I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote at the end of October. I'm just do my part. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, if our president doesn't get reelected, I'm going on. I ain't going to stop. Amen. I got to go on. I ain't going to give up. Mm-hmm. Bless God. The Bible says the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, and he'll turn it like the rivers of water wheresoever it will go. You saying, oh, preacher, do you believe that God allowed Barack Hussein Obama to be our president? Yes, I do. Did you like it? No, I hated it with every fiber of my being. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. And Solomon looks on this thing. If we get our eyes on the things of this world, and I'm going to say it, Brother Steve, sometimes we got to shut the news off, amen? I mean, my brother's in the same age bracket as Brother Steve. Well, I'm right behind you, amen? But anyhow, he called me from Arizona. He goes, I'm about ready to jump off the bridge. I said, just shut it off. He had some other things going on. He goes, man, I just said, shut it off. He goes, I'm going to watch some of my racing. I said, do that.
There you go.
Amen. Sometimes you just got to shut the news off. Amen. I'm always a day behind. You know what I mean? Someone tells me, amen, because I can't. Amen. My flesh, I'm bent to getting into it and watching it. And pretty soon it affects me spiritually. And folks, I got to stay in this word. Amen. You want to hear from God. You don't want to hear from me. Amen. That I need to be on my knees. I need to be studying the word. I need to be right with God and then right with my wife and right with my family and right with my church family. Amen. And I can't do it if I get wrapped up. Amen. I'm not saying don't do it. I want to stay in the loop, but I don't want to be the loopy one. Amen. Just, do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. I want to encourage you because these next 4 weeks are going to be tough. Amen. They're going to be hard on us, folks. And I love you. And I want you to stay strong through it. And come November 4th, we're going to praise the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
And we're going to go on. Amen. I was invited to preach Solid Rock's anniversary, and I think I showed my wife it was the 18th. And I told the preacher, I said, well, we're either going to have a hallelujah time or we're going to have a funeral service. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have a hallelujah time no matter what, because God's in control. Amen. And he knows what he's doing. So pray for our leaders. At least you can say I did my part. I prayed. Amen. The greatest thing you can do for our country is pray for this country and for its leaders that have the backbone and the guts to stand up and and put their personal lives out there and so on.
Amen.
I really wanted to get into this thing this morning. I don't have enough time, and I'm really not going to do it, but you pray for me, and I want to just maybe a little food for thought for next Sunday. Because I'm going to be in the pulpit. We do have a missionary here, but I'm going to be in the pulpit every Sunday this month. I mean, I enjoyed our speakers. I enjoyed the break from the pulpit, but man, I'm just so excited to share with you what God has shown me in here. And so Lord willing, next week, I want to share with you the title of the message would be A Life Lived from an Earthly Perspective. If you have that attitude, it's hopeless. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to use Solomon, and we're going to study more on Solomon. And then I want to preach, Lord willing, if God gives me grace to do it, I want to preach on Luke 12, the rich farmer, the man that forgot God, the man that left God out of all his plans. And we need to do that. The last thing I want to do this morning is get wound up in this and keep you till quarter after. I really don't want to. There's just been we've had a long week. All of us have, you know, include myself. Amen. But I'm so excited to be the pastor of this church.
Amen.
And you have to forgive me sometimes if I'm a little edgy. I apologize. It's just sometimes I overdo it. And that woman in the black shirt back there can tell you that. Amen. But I can't wait till this next phase is done. And we ain't going to rip into the third phase anytime soon. But we'll be able to use that building more. And that's our goal. Amen. Can't wait for Haley to get the kids back in there with their new room. She's been so patient with us. Amen. Yeah. No, Letha, you're doing a great job. It's been a blessing to have Letha work back there. And Brother Earhart and I scratched up Noah. I said, we tore Noah up. And she goes, well, he's all right. What did you say? Yeah. Amen. Thank you for your graciousness. Amen. Yeah. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get the way we're blessed. We'll get the attitude that Solomon had before he got his heart right. You know, I got this. You know what I mean? And we don't. We don't. You know what we need? We need the Lord. If anything else, we need the Lord. Amen.